The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestling to the Max Saturday 205 live review for June 20th, 2017. And I'm your host, Sean Garmer, and here with me, Mr. Gary Vaughn.
Hey, what's up?
So Paul is taking the night off here, so we're going to try to replicate his silky smoothness, but, you know, we'll probably fail at that. We start off 205 Live with some Titus Brand as Rich Swann is talking to Akira Tozawa, and he talks about wanting to get back in the title picture if he has a non-title match with Neville at the end of this show. But Titus O'Neil shows up. He wouldn't mind recruiting Rich Swann, but Rich Swann's got to do something about that hair. What you got against that hair, Titus? What are you trying to say? Titus apparently thinks that you either got to have spiky hair or be bald. He only likes two kinds of hair.
He has hair envy in general.
Maybe that's what it is. He has hair envy, exactly. So he promises Tozawa an extra 5% of merch sales. And then next week on Raw, there will be a deal that Tozawa cannot refuse. More yen in his pocket for some cha-ching. Cha-ching. You know, Tozawa's been living in the U.S. for a while now. I'm pretty sure he doesn't have yen in his pocket. But, you know, we got to keep going with the stereotype there.
Oh, of course. You know, that's the way Vince likes it. You know, keep talking about things that make people feel like, you know, hey, you're still in your own country, even though you're not. So.
We'll make everybody move to Tampa, but you're still going to have yen in your pocket.
Yeah, good luck going to the grocery store with that. But anyway, I like this for the fact that this kind of bleeds over, even though it's not on the same night that we saw the interaction with these guys on Raw. It's kind of still fresh on your mind from Raw. So this starting at the show is really not a bad idea. Plus, you still have a lot of that spotlight on Akira Tozawa, which you kind of like. You know, and Rich Swann being involved is also, you know, once again, a good idea because, you know, he's a guy that needs to get back and basically be in front of people. So I'm okay with all that. I think the Titus Brand stuff is good. I do want to see what he brings to the table next for Akira Tozawa to really talk him into buying in to be a part of the brand.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of excited about to see, too. I really liked how they've done this, and I hope they continue to do this well. He even promises Akira Tozawa a ringside seat for the big match later. That even has popcorn. And it looked like that in the fashion table, that lounge that Tyler Breeze had for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that. And Tozawa had no idea what to do with it, which is funny. So then we have the first match. There's Jack Gallagher and Tony Nese. This is centered around, this goes about 5 minutes. There's not a whole lot to this. It's really centered around Gallagher causing Tony Nese to miss the moonsault, but Nese acts hurt knowing that Gallagher's a gentleman. Very smart by Nese. And so Gallagher won't attack him while he's hurt. Well, it leads to Gallagher getting slammed in the corner, a running knee strike, and Tony Nese gets the win.
Yeah, Tony Nese winning here I think is important, but not only that, it makes sense to me. Jack Gallagher is the, you know, baby face that everyone loves. Everyone's behind him. But, you know, his lack of focus at the end here affects his victory and you know, loses it. So I think Tony Nese and him both put on a pretty good match here. But I was happy to see that Tony Nese was able to get a victory because he really does need him.
Yes, he does need them after kind of being not on the radar for a while. Let's see if it leads to anything, because they tend to use the same guys on the show quite often, which is weird when you have such a big roster, a 205 dive talent. But you have Noam Dar talking with Alicia Fox on the phone. She says he's tired of Cedric Alexander, and Cedric Alexander shows up, and Noam Dar says, "You should quit 205 Live, or we're going to make your life hell." And he tells Alexander that, "I threw your bag in the river." But Cedric says, "Well, I have mine right here." Daivari shows up and says, "Look, my dad gave me this bag. It's like $15,000. There's only like two of them ever made. $15,000, guys. Like, it's not funny." I just didn't think this was funny. I'm not going to be... He's a heel, number one. Why am I going to feel sorry for the fact that he lost a bag? And he's rich. I'm also not going to feel sorry that he lost the bag. But
yeah, that's exactly. And, you know, it's got a little bit of a chuckle factor, but that's about as far as it gets. And, you know... I think it's more about them making the jokes behind the scenes with him. And if it works, it works, but it just wasn't the best.
No, it wasn't. Not all these are going to hit, and this was certainly not one. They did a really, I thought it was a pretty good Gulak and Mustafa Ali video package. Gulak talks about wanting to make 205 Live better, and that's by having a no-flying match with Mustafa Ali. They do allow Mustafa Ali to get a high cross on this, but for the rest of the match, Gulak keeps him grounded. Even hitting a hammerlock slam, but Gulak, when he tries to go for the Boston Crab again, you get Ali hitting moving out of the way and doing a cradle on Gulak to get the win. It was an average match, wasn't anything out of this world, but the story here is that Ali beat Gulak at his own game without really having to fly.
Yeah, and you know, he still had to do a little bit of flying, but it wasn't a ton of it, and I think maybe that was going to be something he was trying to prove, you know, and I think Gulak had his own system going here, and he was going to find ways to really make this thing happen for himself, and it just didn't work out in the end, and I think really the best for them right now at this point is to trade those victories and, you know, really have something in that format, that way we can either feel really, you know, bad for what's going on or really good what's going on, because of the fact that, you know, Gulak has this ongoing point and a path and a direction that he wants to go, and he's probably not going to stop just after losing one match. I think it's more important to showcase that he is still caring and he's going to do it till the bitter end.
Yeah, we'll see if they ever make this a stable or if this is just he's going to say this with every cruiserweight guy that he wrestles or whatever. I don't mind it, but this has got to start going somewhere in a different direction for Drew Gulak, where we get a little bit more with this. Somebody joins him in his quest to make 205 Live not be a flying zone, or, you know, we need to figure out something. Aries tells the gentleman Gallagher that, hey, sometimes you actually need to cut some corners to get to the top. And, you know, Aries talks about having his back going forward, and Gallagher agrees to it. So we got a little team up here.
Yeah, you know, in this one, a little bit of comedy. I love the jokes at the end with the car reference, you know, because they're one accord, and, you know, Austin Aries makes the joke about that he has a Lincoln, but he's like, I think, a Honda guy or something like that. I can't remember exactly. But anyway, it was kind of funny, right? I think the one thing you take out of this is Austin Aries is still willing to work with Jack Gallagher. But the second thing is what you hear from Austin Aries starting to say that, man, guys like TJP seem to have it going right, you know, and that's because they're cutting corners, they're doing things that are a little bit underhanded. Mm-hmm. And that's the way to success. And we're seeing this in a little bit on not just 205. We saw a little bit with Becky Lynch on SmackDown. And I think on Raw, we even see some people kind of say that. And right now, I think all the titles on WWE television are held by heels except one. And that's, right. I think, Naomi. So it seems like the roster in general is a little bit jealous of heels. And so maybe you've got more people looking into that. So this makes sense. It also is cool to see how Gallagher is kind of taken back by that. So it was neat, and I'm glad they had some continuity here.
Yeah, certainly. I agree with that. I do like your tie-in there that almost all the champions are heels right now. And so you got to look at it and go, man, if you're a face, what are you doing wrong? And it's so I'm glad that somebody is finally realizing that, hey, maybe we got to do a little bit of what they do. To get where we need to go, and who knows, it could stretch far beyond this. So we mentioned Rich Swann has something to do at the end. He meets with TJP. TJP kind of gets in his face and says he doesn't like what he had to say to him before his match. And then he basically tells Swann, well, why don't you go take care of business tonight? Then we get the match between Neville and Rich Swann. This was really, really good. These guys have had matches before in the past, and once again deliver here. Neville breaks up a count, hits Slam Swann into a barricade. Neville just gets really pissed and slams him on the announce table. Then we get back in the ring, or before they get back in the ring, I think Swann hits a nasty lariat and a Michinoku driver. And then before he tries to, he misses that Phoenix Splash. Neville locks on the Rings of Saturn because of the miss, and Swann taps out. Once again, Neville looking great as champion. And, man, you got to keep seeing who the hell he's going to wrestle next. We know it's Tozawa as Neville stares him down, but, man, Neville just keeps looking good.
Yeah, and that's positive. I'm really happy that Neville, continues on his just dominant path. It's also important that Rich Swann looks good, especially for the fact that he hasn't been able to do a ton of things lately. You know, when he has, it's usually pretty good, and this makes you pretty happy for him, too, because he really does, take it to the limit, if you want to say it that way, right? I mean, he does get pretty close to, actually feeling that gold in his hands. Other than that, though, I think good stuff. It's quality, and for what we want out of 205, it's exactly what we need and want. So I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah, I'm happy that we're getting this. We're continuing to kind of slowly build to that Neville and Tozawa, what they're gonna do, and a solid 205 live once again.
Yeah, I think so, too. And matches that mattered. That was the good thing here, is I think a lot of these matches actually mattered. So, very happy with that.
Exactly. And so, that'll do it for us talking 205 Live here. I hope you enjoy our other reviews. We've already done Raw and SmackDown. We'll do NXT on Thursday. Of course, we'll have our W10 Part 1 with the ROH Best in the World 2017 preview and much more, and of course our part two as well, so you don't want to miss those. You can subscribe on Wrestling to the Max, or you can subscribe to the whole network and listen to not just us here talking wrestling. You can hear me talking about video games, or our football show that's going to come back on Thursday after it's been a little hiatus. Hear me talk with a couple of great people about soccer on Soccer to the Max, and then of course our other partner shows. So we do a lot of stuff here that you'll want to check out. And, of course, check out W2Net.com. And, of course, we're in partnership with 411mania.com as well. So check them out. And, all right. So until next week when we talk more 205 Live, we will see you later, everybody.
Peace.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.